Well, we've been talking about this for a few weeks now, and it finally happened. On the 29th of June, we launched our balloon into space. They say that in space, no one can hear you scream, but we wanted to actually test that for ourselves. So after months of collaboration with engineers from Brunel University, we attached a loudspeaker and a microphone to a helium balloon and sent it up to 120,000 feet. Phil Sansom recorded Chris explaining the story.
Well, the idea of this is to send a balloon to the edge of space. And the reason for doing that is that we want to test the theory that in space no one can hear you scream. The rig has been built by Dave Ansell.
So there's a square-based pyramid made out of doweling, held together with cable ties. From this is suspended on springs, a loudspeaker at the square end, and a little bit further down, a little tiny microphone in a lump of brass to try and give it a bit more mass.
So they are hanging in space, but supported by the springs and the elastics. They're not connected to each other, and they can see each other, but there's no way for the vibrations to travel out of one and into the other. The rig's been built by Dave Ansell, and the software has been written by Omar Gad.
The biggest challenge for me was getting the device small enough and getting a power source that can power all of this.
This thing has got to get to 120,000 feet. It would easily go over the top of Mount Everest. So we need to make sure that whatever we do, we can cope with low pressure and low temperature. We bought a cheap speaker off the internet, and then we went and bought a microphone that cost about £8. And pretty quickly realised that an £8 microphone was not going to cut it because it was rubbish. So we went and bought an £80 microphone, and that was much better.
And so I recorded myself screaming. That was recorded with the mic, and now we're going to play what the mic recorded.
So it's playing the audio of the screams, and it's also recording the audio, and we're also recording other things like temperature, pressure. There is also a satellite transponder on it, because we need to track this thing, and we need to know where it's going, because we've got to go and retrieve it, and we have no way of controlling where it comes down, apart from watching the weather and following it.
That noise is coming from the receiver, and the receiver is receiving data from the transmitter. That noise is actually, ones and zeros being sent across the air. And then on here, you'll actually start to see, okay, here, look, it says temperature. It'll then give you the temperature, altitude, latitude, and longitude.
The weather for this is critical. When something's going on a four-hour flight, all the time it's up in the air, it's subject to wind. But it's pretty windy up there regardless. So it's definitely going to travel across the country. So we may have to do a bit of driving to catch up with this thing. If the wind suddenly changes direction and turns west, then the whole lot's going to go in the ocean and we're going to lose everything. I'm dead excited about this. I don't think anyone's done it quite the way we're trying to do this before. So this is quite cool because it's a first. Do you know, it's been really good fun. Right, well, it's Saturday the 29th of June, just got in the car. We have to go to the West Country to launch the balloon because the prevailing wind direction is towards the east. So this balloon should come down somewhere over Birmingham-ish. I'm optimistic, buoyant.
Hello. Good to meet you.
Yes, so now we finally arrive. We're here in this field. We've got a very large cylinder of helium, which is what we're going to put into the balloon.
Two, one, go.
I'm Dr. Konstantinos Banitsa for Brunel University. This is a project that has 1,000 things that can go wrong, and only in one scenario you can actually retrieve it. Everything has to work right.
We've got the device we've built, which is in a big polystyrene box, which the balloon is going to carry up to 120,000 feet.
We're going to have two mobile phones in there and a GoPro to actually take video, so we're going to put those in last.
You have to be absolutely sure that everything is secure because we can't tell how crazy the weather might get up there.
Stop.
Yeah, we're ready. We're ready to launch now.
Okay, 10, 9, 8, 7, 5, 8.
Yes! Yes! That's perfect!
1,047 meters.
After probably, what, 5 minutes?
I'm now going to run the prediction, now that we've launched it, to see exactly where it's going to end up. Okay, so it's going to land in a place called New Cross, near Wolverhampton. One team should now get going, and we will probably clear up and chase after it.
Okay.
Well, I'm Tim Pilgrim at Brunel University, and I'm the press officer that originally helped Omar get in contact with Chris to set up this whole thing. So we've now reached the outskirts of Birmingham, and we've just received some exciting news that the balloon has started to come back down again. So we've obviously reached peak. Fingers crossed, we should be at the landing site before the balloon gets there. Oh, it's already landed.
It's in a field right next to a river.
Oh, fantastic.
You guys are probably going to be the first ones there.
Cheers.
Bye.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, you got it.
So where is it?
We found it exactly where we were supposed to find it. And this is the best case scenario. It just lands in the field somewhere. No danger at all. And it's here.
Here it is, the payload. In the middle of a field. We actually lost telemetry. Had it not been for the Find My Phone app, this is how we actually found the
we lost device.
Well, we did it. We have succeeded. We actually got our device up to the edge of space and we got it back again and we've got all the data. What did we find? Well, if we look at two screams, here's the first one. This one was recorded at the ground. And you compare that with this, which was recorded at 33 kilometres up, just before the balloon popped, where the pressure is 10 millibar, so only about 1/100th of the pressure at the Earth's surface. You can hear that the two are dramatically different. The second, where the air is very thin, is really quiet. So the logical conclusion is, were we to have carried on going up even further, the air would have continued to get even thinner. We would eventually have reached a point where there would be so few air molecules bashing into the microphone, it would barely move and you wouldn't be able to hear it. Case closed. But we have made a special page on our website with all of the raw data and the recordings, as well as other measurements we made, and you can go and take a look at that. Interestingly, we've got the profile of the carbon dioxide levels as we go up, and we think, on our graph, you can see the effects of the M4 motorway and the city of Bristol just upwind of where we were taking off. If you want to go and have a look at it, it's nakedscientist.com/balloon.
Wow, I can't believe they actually found it again. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I'm astounded it landed where they thought it was going to land and didn't end up in the sea or someone's garden with a dog. They got real lucky. It's great.
And of course, an amazing amount of prep went into it before the launch. Thank you to everyone involved in that project. And if you want to see the images and the video the team recorded from the balloon and listen to the sounds from space, we've set up a special webpage at nakedscientist.com/balloon. So do go and check it out.